The words of Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being here this afternoon. And we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for Vincent's father. And we are here to remember him, and even more, we are here to encourage and to comfort Vincent. We pray that your spirit would rest upon our time together. We pray that we would be drawn near to you, that everything that is said and done would be pleasing to you. And we pray especially for Vincent and for the family, that you would strengthen and encourage his heart, each of their hearts, that they might be drawn near to you. We come grieving, but we pray that we would know the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This service is in memory of Clyde Lanigan, and our chief goal of this service is not simply to remember him, but to offer encouragement, comfort, hope to Vincent. And at this time, we have representatives from the Marines who will come and present a flag. Thank you. At this time, Vivian is going to come and share some words of gratitude.
Hi, good afternoon. I want to thank everyone for being here this afternoon. It's been a long... It's almost a long 3 months that Tornell has been gone, but I wanted to make sure that we were gone when he passed. We were in Dallas when I got the call that he might not make it. It was the craziest 24 hours of my life because I had to focus on getting us from San Diego all the way to Garland, Texas. And all I know is that we got us together, and I had to stop here. And this is our church, and we did stop here before, and we had prayer. And those were the longest 19 hours of a part of our life. And I'm not happy with the way he went. And on June 24th, it's going to be 3 months that he's been gone. So we needed to have some honor, some closure for my son, for Vincent, for the whole family. I want to thank Sophie Cormondell, who never knew Darnell, but were strong enough to understand what we were doing, traveling all the way to Dallas and to be there. And we slept in the ICU floor, and we were there 24/7 until his very last moments. And they stood next to their brother when his dad took his last breath. So I'm really proud of them. And I want to thank the church, Pastor Steve, for keeping us in prayer, because that whole trip, that whole journey to Dallas was just a blessing, how we got there, how we stayed there for 2 weeks, and how we got back. So I just want to say that. I want to say thank you. And I want to thank the United States Marine Corps. Thank you for coming. And I'm very pleased to say that hopefully in another month or so, we will get the remains, and we will be having him at National Cemetery in Missouri. So that's what we've been waiting for. But I really appreciate you coming out and doing this.
At this time, I'd like for Pastor Chris to come and share words of encouragement and comfort.
Well, thanks for inviting me to come up here and talk a little bit, Vivian. I'm going to be honest, I don't have a lot prepared to say, but a few thoughts kind of come to mind as I've been sitting here around the table. You know, your whole family has been it's been amazing to watch your family over the last 4 years, about as long since we've been here, because you guys have been through a lot. More than just, you know, the passing of Vincent, of your dad. You guys have been through a lot since we've been here. And yet, despite everything, I mean, all you kids, Robert included, all the kids that I've known, you guys are amazing. I mean, love you kids. You've been so fun. I've had all of you in class at different times. And you guys have been a joy to interact with, to get to know. I always get excited when you guys come in on Friday night. You know, sometimes you come in a little late. I'm expecting, oh, they're not going to be here. And then here they come at 7:15 and just brighten up my night. So I appreciate all of you. And Vincent, you know, I know this is just one of many things that you've been asked to do, responsibilities that you've been burdened with that really... I mean, really, there's no other way to put it. It's just not fair that you've had to deal with so much stuff at the age that you are. You know, from in a lot of ways, filling your dad's shoes with your brothers and sisters and their dad's shoes, and being a role model for your younger siblings. To, you know, I know you helped get them ready for school. I know you helped keep them on track with school and keep them in line at home. And I mean, you do so many things that are far beyond your years. And I think that processing all of this, you know, it's a complicated situation, and having to process all of this is another thing that's just beyond your years. And kind of from what I've seen, just, you know, with my experience in the world, is that dealing with painful situations and dealing with struggle like this tend to put people, it tends to either build someone up and build their character and make them into a more special, more amazing person, or it tends to tear them down. And so far, with all that you guys have been through, every step of the way, it seems like it's been building you up and has been making you into the man that you are today, the man that you're becoming. And I just encourage you that this can be the same way. And I know that it's painful and confusing. I know you're having a lot of conflicting feelings. But if you continue to stick close to the Lord like you have been, if you continue to pray, continue to study your Bible, come to church, be a part of the community, if you continue to follow God's lead in your life like you have been, then this will build you up just like the other things have built you up so far. because I see God working in your life. I see God making you into a special person that has a set of gifts that are unique that not everybody has. And I know that God has plans for you and for your life. And so I know you're in a moment of pain right now and you're in a moment of conflict, but God has plans for you and God wants good things from you. And I already see those things starting to happen just with your character, the type of guy that you are. Some of you know, some of you might not know, I recommended Vincent to be a high school helper for junior high camp this summer. And so he's going to do that. And I'm very excited about that because it's the type of thing where I had, you know, we were talking about it with the other youth leaders about having kids that are ready to take responsibility and help lead and help junior high kids. That can be a gift to them. That can help them grow in the Lord. That can help to be what they need in their life during camp, which is a special time. And without hesitation, I thought, oh, Vincent would be perfect at that. He would be perfect because he's great with kids. He has a caring heart. He has a deep relationship with God. And he's responsible. I mean, you're going to be perfect for that. And there's so many things like that that you are perfect for because of your set of experiences. And so I encourage you to stay close to the Lord, continue to walk with God. And we want to help you do that in any way that we can. And continue to walk with the community of God that you have here at Southeast. And God's going to lead you in the right way. You're going to get through this time. And I don't think it'll ever just be a distant memory. I think it'll be with you, you know, probably for a long time, maybe for the rest of your life. But you're going to get through it, and it's going to make you stronger. And God's going to continue to build you and use you for the rest of your life. So I just encourage you to allow that to happen and to keep growing in the ways that you've been growing. Because I see good things in you. Okay? Can I pray for you? God, we thank you for Vincent and for his family and for all the things that you've done with him, with Sophie and Cora and Vondell, and with Robert and the other siblings as well. And we just pray that you would draw close to all of them in this difficult time. Pray especially that you'd be close to Vincent, that you'd help him to process his feelings in the ways that he needs to, and that you would allow this experience to make him stronger, not to tear him down, but to build him up. God, we have been witness to the growth that you have instilled in Vincent over the last few years. Some of us have been witnessing that since he was even smaller than that. And we just pray that you would stay close to him and that you would continue to build his character, continue to make him a man that's after your own heart, a man that can lead others into your arms, a man that can be a comforting friend, that can be a word of joy, that can play a beautiful sound, that can do so many things, that can bring joy and peace to others around him. Continue to use him, continue to build him up, and may your spirit be with him right now and for the rest of his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now, Vincent, would you come? You have a violin special. Would you play your violin? Let us turn in our bulletin to Psalm number 23. It's there on the inside cover. And let's read that together. So Psalm 23. Make sure everybody has a copy. It's right on the inside flap. Thank you, Vincent. That was beautiful. Psalm 23, let us begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. At this time, Rebecca and Josh are going to come and minister to us in song.
Storm.
Thank you, Rebecca and Josh. At this time, Kat is going to come and minister in song.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. And I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. His eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. I know he watches over me.
Thank you, Kat. I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verses 15, beginning at verse 15 and reading through verse 20. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence with us today and for the comfort that you give. Pray that you'd continue to have your way in this time together, and even more that you'd have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Vincent, this is mainly for you. Wasn't sure who all would be here, wasn't sure how to conduct this service, wasn't sure what all to say, but everything that I thought about, it always turned back to you. And we're here to grieve. And we are here to hope, and we are not here to pretend. So we haven't tried to pretend about anything. We haven't tried to pretend about what a great dad you had. We haven't tried to pretend about what a great relationship you had with your dad. We haven't tried to pretend about how loving your dad is. Maybe he was all those things, but we never saw it. And so we are here to grieve, and we are here to hope, and we are not here to pretend about anything. And the thing that initially gets me going is sadness. And I grieve for you, and I grieve that you never got to know your dad. I grieve that your dad wasn't there for you as you, you know, went through different things. Your dad wasn't there to hear you learn how to play the violin, wasn't there to hear you scratch through notes to get to where you could play. Your dad just wasn't there for you, and I grieve for you that you never got to experience having your dad really part of your life, and that saddens me. And as sad as I am for you, in some ways, I'm even sadder for your dad, because your dad never got to experience you. Your dad never got to know you. Your dad never got to experience the joy that you would bring him had he known you. And so while I'm sad for you, I think I'm even sadder for your dad, because I know how special you are. And your dad didn't. And he missed out. And it's real quick for that sadness to turn into anger. And I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but I'm trying not to be too angry. But I get angry about that. And I'm mad at him. And angry that he wasn't there for you. And it just blows my mind that how he could stay absent from your life. And that just makes me angry. And I told you I wasn't going to pretend. And so I'm sad, I'm grieving, and I'm angry. And I can't imagine the emotions that you must be going through. But you are here today, and people have already talked about how remarkable you are. But you're here today honoring your father. You honored him by going there to be there for him at his death. From all I've heard, he was not there for you, maybe ever. I don't know if he was there for you at your birth or not. It sounds like he wasn't there for you when you learned how to take your first steps. That he wasn't there for you when you were learning how to ride a bicycle. There are so many ways that he dishonored you, just to be honest. And yet here you are honoring him. You honored him by going to Texas. You honored him by playing your violin for him. You honored him by being there when he left this life. And you are honoring him today. God will honor you for that. God will honor you for honoring your father. What you are doing today is an incredibly honorable thing to do. Recognizing your father as your father, rather than disowning him, rather than saying I'm having nothing to do with him, rather than just trying to push him down into some dark corner in your life and never acknowledge him, but you have chosen to honor him. And that is so honorable, and God will honor you for that time and time again in ways that you can't see right now. The passage of Scripture, let me just read it again. And the verse that really calls for my attention, well, there's two of them, verses 16 and 17. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by Christ and for Christ. Vincent, that includes you. Christ created you. And Christ created you for Christ. Your dad is not your creator. Your dad didn't make you. And your mom didn't make you. Yes, Christ created you through your mom and dad, but Christ is your maker. Christ is the one who created you, and Christ created you with purpose for himself. And it's real easy to get kind of distracted from that truth. And it's real easy to think about our Creator, our Creators, as being mom and dad. And mom and dad supply genes. Mom and dad supply DNA. Mom and dad supply a lot. But mom and dad are not our Creator. Christ is our Creator. And so even though your dad may not have been there for you, your dad did supply, but Christ is your Creator. Hold on to that. The other thing to hold on with that is not only did Christ create you, but Christ created you for a purpose, for His glory. Your purpose does not come from your dad, nor does your purpose come from your mom. Your purpose comes from your Maker, and that's Christ. You are fulfilling some of that purpose even now. It was Christ who purposed in you to honor your father and your mother. You were created for that, and you are doing that. Christ created you to love, and you are loving. And even though you may not have received a lot of love from your father, somehow Christ, your Creator, has stamped love all over you and put love in your heart. And Christ created you for the purpose of loving. Loving your family, loving people in need, loving people around you, loving strangers. But Christ created you for the purpose of loving. Christ created you for the purpose of pouring blessings out through you. And that blessing may come through music, it may come through your violin, it may come through a smile, it may come through listening to somebody, but Christ created you with the purpose of loving and with the purpose of pouring His blessings out through you. And you've heard various people today testify to the gifts and the graces that they have seen within you. We don't know your dad, but we know your Maker. We know Christ. And we see Christ's image stamped all over you. We don't know what kind of heart your dad had, but we know what kind of heart Christ has, and we see that heart in you. Christ is your Creator, and Christ created you for the purpose of bearing His image that others might know Him as well. Maybe one more thing. Look with me at verse 17. Christ is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. In Christ, all things are held together. And Vincent, that includes you. Christ is the one who holds you together. And He may hold you together through friends. He may hold you together through the love of your mom. He may hold you together through brothers and sisters. He may hold you together through the church. But ultimately, Christ is the one who holds you together. Christ is your beginning. Christ is your end. And Christ will hold you together through and through. And you know all too well that people fail us. And from my vantage point, in many ways, your dad failed you. And I also know that, sadly, we all fail. And sometimes we fail the people that we love most. And so part of the situation we find ourselves in is that people that we count on fail us, and that people who count on us and that we dearly love, at some point we end up failing them. And it would seem that in the midst of such failings, that life would just fall apart. But Christ holds us together. Christ never fails. He holds us together through all the failings that we might encounter and experience in life. Whether it's people failing us, or whether it's us failing people that we love, or whether it's even us failing ourselves, Christ holds us together in all the failings of life. Because he's the one who created us, and he's the one who has a purpose for us. He is our beginning, he is our end, and he will hold us together to accomplish his purposes. We have to learn to not merely see ourselves in our parents. We have to learn to see ourselves in our Creator. The natural tendency is to begin to get our identity from our mom and dad. And so we begin to get a sense of who we are from mom. We begin to get a sense of who we are from dad. And sometimes that can be very healthy, and sometimes that can be very destructive. But in no case is it ever exactly true that we have to learn to see ourselves, to get our sense of who we are in our Creator, not in our parents. And so the place you look to find yourself is in the eyes of Christ. The place you look to discover who you are and what your purpose is in Christ. Christ worked through your father and through your mother to bring you into this world. But you don't get your true sense of who you are from your father or your mother. You don't get your true sense of how lovable you are from your father or from your mother. You get your sense of who you are and how lovable you are through Christ. He made you. He died for you. And he is risen. He is your end, and he is the one who holds you together. In the midst of all the failings of life, in the midst of people failing us, in the midst of us failing people, in the midst of everything just seeming like it's going to fall apart, Christ holds us together. And the way that he holds us together is he bears all the failings. He bears all the suffering. That when he goes to the cross, he takes upon his shoulders all of those failings. The failings of your father to you, the failings that you will do, the failings of all of us, both that we've received and that we've committed. He takes that all upon himself and bears it so that there can be peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, even peace between you and your dad. He holds us together. And he takes everything upon himself that we might have peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that is beyond comprehension, a peace that only comes through forgiveness and reconciliation. He bears it all. Vincent, our prayer is that you would know the peace of Christ. In deeper ways than you've ever known it before. That you would know the peace of Christ in the depths of your heart, especially at that place where your father failed you. That you would know peace, and that you would know Christ's love. And that you would grow in your experience and your knowledge of Christ's love for you, so that it is Christ's love that is the compelling force in your life. I don't have to tell you that there are people who have been in your shoes and the compelling force in their life has been bitterness. And they go through life bitter because they got a raw deal, a dad who failed them. That's not my prayer for you. That's not Christ's purpose for you. Christ's purpose for you is to love. And so our prayer is that you would know the love of Christ so strongly, so profoundly, that it's His love for you that compels you in all things, even in your attitude towards your dad. There'll be grieving to do. There'll be work to do. It will be challenging. There will be a lot of praying to do. But Christ holds us together for His purpose, that we might love and know His peace. Today, we commit your father to the Lord. His life is lived. God knows his heart. I don't know his heart. I don't know his life. We trust him to God. God is a merciful and gracious God. We know that well. We commit you to the Lord today. And we commit these days that God gives you to the Lord. And Vincent, every one of us here is confident that he who began a good work in you will continue to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Christ created you. Christ created you for Christ. Christ has purpose for you, and Christ will hold you together. And in closing, what I'd like for us to do is to have all the men come and gather around you and place their hands upon you, and we want to pray for you.
Chicken, potato salad, baked beans.